disclaimer. Information in this podcast is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to be treated as medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making changes to your diet, lifestyle, supplementation, or medication.
You can reduce, avoid, and even stop taking medications, which is why you need to be educated and informed so that you can be empowered to make the best decisions for your health. But please remember that you should always consult with your medical doctor before making changes to your medication.
Welcome to Type 2 Diabetes Talk, the place where we chat about what really works to treat type 2 diabetes and prediabetes naturally with nutrition and lifestyle. If you're looking to optimize blood sugar and A1C, lose weight, reduce medications, and improve your overall health, this is the place to be. Now, here's your host, type 2 diabetes nutrition specialist, Dr. Jetta.
Hello and welcome back. We're on the last episode of Medication March today, and I hope you've been enjoying this series of conversations designed to spark a deeper level of thinking that empowers you to make informed decisions and take charge of your own diabetes health. If you have, I encourage you to share these conversations widely with friends, family, and colleagues, because it's only together that we can make a big difference. Throughout the series, we've covered some interesting ground, hearing people's experiences about the lack of support and pressures over taking meds. We've covered surprising facts, the importance of considering medication side effects, and why it's important to be the boss of your own medicines and start a conversation with your doctor. And today, in this last episode, we've got some really juicy stuff to dig into as well. We're going to go over the different types of glucose-lowering medications and their effectiveness, and we'll also chat about something that's not often discussed: de-prescribing medication. Is it really possible to reduce and stop medications? Are there any negative consequences? What does the evidence have to say about the benefits and risks of de-prescribing meds? And should we all be encouraging and supporting medication reduction? Interesting questions, right? And that's what we're going to explore today. Alongside this episode, there will be links to resources to help you do some more research on the medications you're taking. And for health professionals who may be listening to this, there will be specific resources for you as well. So head over to type2diabetestalk.com and you'll find them alongside episode 18. Our members, you can head to the members library to find a wide range of resources related to this medication series, including our updated medication guide and letters you can give to your doctor and much more. Okay, let's start by covering the different types of glucose-lowering medications and the ways in which they can help to lower blood sugar. When it comes to glucose-lowering medications, antiglycemic medications, diabetic medications, whatever you want to call them, there are quite a number of them. Each class of medication works in a different way to lower blood sugar levels. There are various oral medications, pills, that you can take. And before I share these, I just want to note that generally the classes of medications used around the world are the same, but the brands may differ in their names depending on your location. And I'll also say that the pronunciation of some of these is a bit difficult and can vary. So if I don't say it right or the way you might say it, I apologize for that in advance. Okay, so we've got biguanides or metformin, which is one of the most commonly prescribed meds for both type 2 diabetes and prediabetes. And metformin works by reducing the amount of glucose produced by the liver and improving insulin sensitivity. Sulfonylureas such as glipizide or glucocontrol, glyburide, which is micronase glyanase diabeta, and glimepiride, amaryl, work by stimulating the pancreas to produce more insulin. DPP-4 inhibitors like sitagliptin, Januvia, saxagliptin, Onglyza, linagliptin, Tradjenta, work by blocking the action of an enzyme called DPP-4, which affects other hormones to help decrease glucose levels. SGLT2 inhibitors, such as canagliflozin, which is Inovacana, dapagliflozin, Farxiga or Forxiga, empagliflozin, Jardiance, these work by preventing the kidneys from reabsorbing glucose back into the blood. Then there are injectable medications. GLP-1 receptor agonists such as exagnatide, Byetta, dulaglutide, Trulicity, and the hugely popular semaglutide, Ozempic and Wegovy. These act similarly to other hormones in the body to trigger insulin release after eating to help control blood glucose. And of course, insulin is also prescribed to assist with high blood glucose. There are a few other medications available and still prescribed, but have become much less common in use. And of course, we also see combination medications, ones that include dual action therapy, such as Janumet, which is a combination of Januvia and metformin, or Metaglip, which is a combination of metformin and glipizide. Each medication has its own indications, mechanisms of action, and potential side effects. And these are all things you need to consider carefully in consultation with your medical doctor, your physician GP, etc. But there are two important things I want to take note of here at the start of this chat, and they are, one, in the ADA medical care guidelines in Chapter 9 about pharmacotherapy, they state that healthy lifestyle behaviours, diabetes self-management education and support should be considered in the glucose-lowering management of type 2 diabetes. This kind of statement is throughout the ADA guidelines because we know healthy lifestyle, especially nutrition, has the most influence on your blood glucose levels and health and is often more impactful than medication. The second thing is, physicians will default to prescribing medications. Prescribing medication is the standard medical approach. But you don't want to solely rely on medications, especially when natural nutrition and lifestyle strategies can make such a big difference. And the thing is, if you need to keep taking more and more medications, your diabetes may look better from the outside, but your diabetes is likely getting worse, not better. Focus on your nutrition and naturally treating your diabetes because you want to see your diabetes getting better, not worse. You want to see your overall health be improved by what you do. So the two points are, one, healthy lifestyle, especially nutrition, has the most influence on your blood glucose levels and health and is often more impactful than medication. And the second point is, don't solely rely on medication when you have highly effective natural treatment options at your fingertips. So here's the thing. Medication has a limited effect on blood glucose, which is why it's not unusual to see people on several diabetes medications all at once. For example, metformin can reduce A1C by a maximum of 1.5%, while other meds like SGLT2 inhibitors such as Farxiga and Jardiance have a much smaller impact of only 0.7%. The reality is, though, if your A1C levels are high, above 7%, your doctor will likely prescribe medications. The reason is we do want to see your levels come down. It is dangerous to have prolonged high blood glucose levels because this causes damage to your health and can lead to very serious complications. But if you get proactive, you can bring your A1C levels down by 3 or 4% in just a few months, naturally. So wouldn't you prefer to take that option? And even still, the question is, if you take medication initially, do you really need to keep taking it forever? Well, I've got some interesting evidence to share on that shortly. As Sue and I covered in the previous two episodes, with every medication you take, every medication, there are side effects to consider. Not just in the short term, but over the long term as well. For instance, metformin can cause vitamin B12 deficiency, and the longer you take it, the more at risk of deficiency you become. Older adults are already at higher risk of vitamin B12 deficiency, so this is something you need to consider and whether the long-term benefits of the medication are really worthwhile. Medications like Ozempic and Wegovy may be beneficial in the short term, but in the long term, it's still uncertain of the potential risk for thyroid cancer. There are also noted risks of acute gallbladder disease, pancreatitis, and kidney injury. There was also a new warning added to these meds in September 2023 about the risk of ileus, a condition where the intestines become blocked, stop moving and working properly, where there are a growing number of cases of this and 2 deaths reported. Medications such as insulin and sulfonylureas put you at risk of hypoglycemia, which as you get older becomes a greater and greater concern because of the difficulties in managing these medications. Then there's a whole array of side effects that are considered minor, as Sue and I discussed in previous episodes. Studies show a whole range of minor side effects related to diabetes medications that aren't so minor if you're experiencing them in daily life. Things like blurred vision, lightheadedness, and weakness are very common side effects of diabetes meds that could be overlooked but could seriously affect your life. The question with medications always has to be, do the risks outweigh the benefits? And another question often comes to mind, has diabetes become an over-medicalized health condition? Looking at some of the facts suggests that yes, it certainly has. The data show that over the past 2 decades, we have seen substantial increases in prescription medication use. Overtreatment and overprescription of medications is common. Inappropriate prescribing is highly prevalent, especially in the elderly. But here's the thing, elderly people are anyone over 65 years of age. And 65, well, that's not that old. So let's just say it's a big issue. As Sue and I talked about previously, it's not uncommon for people over 60 to be on multiple medications. This is called polypharmacy. Polypharmacy is the term used to describe when one person is using 5 or more drugs simultaneously. A recent study from 2023 found that polypharmacy remained on the rise, with 2.9% average annual increase year on year. And guess which group has one of the highest rates of polypharmacy? People with diabetes. This is not good because the majority of the evidence shows that taking multiple medications is associated with negative clinical consequences. Some of these consequences include not adhering to the medication regime, suffering side effects of drugs, frequent drug-to-drug interactions, and hospitalizations, which, as I shared in a previous episode, are quite high among people with diabetes in relation to medication. We know people's medications are not being reviewed at 3 to 6 month intervals like they should be. People are left on their current medication and another is being added to treat the symptom or another new symptom. Even people with low A1C levels are not being taken off medications. In fact, the deprescribing rates in those over 65 years of age with low A1C levels range from 14 to 27%. This stuff is incredibly disturbing because here's the thing. If your HbA1c is below 7%, deprescribing is often appropriate and recommended. There are studies that have been shown success in deprescribing medications in people with A1c below 7%, below 6.5%, and below 6%. And guess what? The majority of the participants in these studies saw no significant change in their blood glucose levels, no difference. Even in a group of nursing home residents aged 86.5 years on average, when medication was stopped, They had a non-significant increase in A1C of 0.3% over 12 months, from 6.2% to 6.5%. Overall, the evidence suggests that 62 to 75% of people with low and or stable A1C, deprescribing medications is successful and makes no difference to A1C levels. No difference. A1C levels stay stable. Deprescribing medications also reduces risk of hypoglycemic episodes, falls, and hospitalizations. So with all this evidence, deprescribing medications is something physicians should be considering all the time, especially when A1C levels of 7% or below are achieved. The two medications with the greatest risk and consideration for deprescribing are those that increase your risk of low blood sugar, and those medications are insulin or sulfonylureas like glipizide, glucocontrol, glyburide, which is micronase, glynase, diabeta, and glimepiride, Amaryl. Insulin is insulin, obviously, and then sulfonylureas make the pancreas produce more insulin. In terms of treatment, these medications should really be a last resort, an absolute last resort, because in most people with diabetes, there is already too much insulin in the bloodstream. In most cases, we want to work on getting insulin down, not push more insulin into the bloodstream. That's a whole conversation for another time. The evidence overwhelmingly suggests that physicians should try to reduce and deprescribe insulin and sulfonylureas where possible because, especially in the elderly, people over 65, the benefits of deprescribing may outweigh harm. Without a doubt, the complications of medications do become more complex as we get older, and the more we take, of course, which is why it's so important to try to reduce medications as much as possible and reduce your reliance on medications as much as possible. And there are proven methods to do this, diet and nutrition being your primary number one natural treatment strategy, as I've discussed in episode 3 and episode 6 in detail, and all throughout this podcast so far, in fact. So I'd recommend you go back and listen to those episodes 3, 6, and the others as well.
Get proven, practical support to lower blood sugar, weight, and medication. Check out Dr. Jetta's programs and services at type2diabetestalk.com/programs.
So I've got a few questions here to go over that we received some time ago. Maureen asked, is it really possible to get off metformin? Absolutely yes. Ben asked, I would like to get off my diabetic medication. Is this possible? Absolutely yes, it is possible. But like we've discussed throughout many of these episodes, it's up to you to get proactive with your health and especially focus on diet and nutrition as your primary natural treatment strategy. Mavis asked, is it possible to reduce insulin? Absolutely yes, it is possible, and in many cases, you will be able to stop taking it. That's the thing. Just because you take medication and may need it for some time doesn't necessarily mean you need to continue taking it for life. As we saw in the evidence I just shared, when people achieved A1C levels below 7, 6.5 and 6 and were taken off their medication, it made no significant difference to their A1C levels, none at all. This suggests that the medications lose their effect over time anyway, and in actual fact, the body is naturally doing the work of blood sugar control. So if that's the case, why take the medication? And if this is the case, why is deprescribing medication not happening more? Some of the obstacles that have been suggested by the evidence are guidelines don't provide clear guidance on deprescribing medications, such as when and how to do it. Uncertainty about the outcomes when deprescribing. Worries about negative consequences, which inhibits physicians from de-prescribing. And we know that prescribing meds is just commonplace in general practice, and de-prescribing is not. It's true, we currently have limited evidence on de-prescribing practices, but there are a growing number of resources on this to guide health professionals in the right direction. I'll link to those in the show notes, so do send your doctor or healthcare team to our website to explore those alongside episode 18. As for the uncertainty about the outcomes and worries about negative consequences, what negative consequences could there really be, apart from re-elevated glucose levels, to which you can further control via nutrition or other lifestyle factors, or you can always go back on medication if necessary? The point is, the evidence suggests there is an overwhelming benefit of reducing medications in diabetes, and we know this is highly possible, so it's something we should all be encouraging and supporting. As for prescribing medications being commonplace and de-prescribing rates being low, I think it's just not something that is discussed enough, which is why this Medication March series is so important. And it's important for you to continue this conversation with your doctor and healthcare team. Let's change the conversation. Let's make conversations about deprescribing medications commonplace. When it comes to deprescribing, there are different methods, of course, including complete withdrawal and discontinuation of all medication. This doesn't tend to happen as much in general practice due to the conservativeness of doctors and hesitations we've covered throughout this series, but it can be possible depending on the situation. Reducing dosage over time is more common, and if you're on multiple medications, stopping one medication and then another is usually what happens. And then there's also substitution for other medications, especially if certain medications you're taking lead to side effects. You can discuss all these options with your doctor. Every time you go to the doctor, take all of your meds and supplements. Ask them to review what you're taking. Ask them if there are any you can reduce or eliminate. If the doctor is prescribing a medication that you don't really want to take or don't think you need, don't be afraid to ask your doctor directly. Why are you prescribing this medication? Is it really needed? What benefit will it offer over what I'm doing? I don't understand why you are prescribing this to me. Please explain it to me. And don't be afraid to state that you'd prefer to avoid the medication for now to see how you go. It is your own health after all, so you do have the final say on things. You can discuss all of these options with your doctor, but it is up to you to take charge of your health and spark the conversation. Overall, the key point is that you can reduce and stop medications. It is possible. With the right natural treatment strategies and the right support, you can do this. That's right, you don't have to do it alone. We've been supporting people to do this for over a decade, so if you need help and support to reduce your meds, please go to our website and check out the programs and services we have available. type2diabetestalk.com/programs. I really hope you've enjoyed this Medication March series of conversations designed to empower you to take charge of your health through education, informed decision-making, and communication. If you have, please take the time to leave a positive rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. This really helps the podcast to reach more people, so this conversation gets out far and wide, so I'd really appreciate if you do that. I'd also love to hear your feedback and thoughts about the series, so feel free to head down to type2diabetestalk.com and leave me a voice message or email. Most importantly, this conversation is so important to everyone with pre-diabetes and type 2 diabetes, so please do spread the word. Share type 2 diabetes talk with friends, family, colleagues, and acquaintances, because together we can spark this conversation. Together we can make a big difference. That's all for now. But there's still plenty more great topics to come, so be sure to tune into the podcast each week. Very soon I'll be sharing another member's story, and we've got another Q&A session up and coming as well. If you have a question or something to add, go down to type2diabetestalk.com and leave a voice message or email yourself. In the next episode, we'll be taking a breath to chat about a more lighthearted topic that may be of interest to you too. Breakfast. See you then, Dr. Jeddah, over and out.
Thanks for tuning in to Type 2 Diabetes Talk. Please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. And for episode replays, episode notes, and more, visit type2diabetestalk.com. New episodes are available Tuesdays, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, or your time zone equivalent. Thanks again. We're truly grateful to be a part of your life and help make a real difference.